Him some glory. Go ahead and give Him some thanks. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We're not just going to sing it. We're going to do it. This is how we give praise to such a great God. Would you just all stand together and would you just thank Him? Give Him something personal, some personal thanks that you want to give to the Lord. You've helped us this week. You've protected us this week. You've made a way this week. You have blessed us, O Lord. You have performed the miraculous. Oh, yes. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank God for His wonderful Spirit that is here. And anything can happen in the presence of the Lord. It can happen in the church building. It can happen in your automobile. It can happen in your life. It can happen at home. The miracle working power of God. And God wants to loose miracles, wonders, and signs. They will be for our benefit when we receive the healing, but mainly they will be to exalt the Lord. And while He is exalted, people will be drawn to Him and to His glory. Somebody have already said it. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. There's nothing. I feel like we ought to praise Him about that right now. Just there's nothing too hard. There's nothing impossible. There's nothing, O Lord, beyond You. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And we thank God for His wonderful power and presence. And He is here tonight as He was this morning. Aren't you glad He's as close as the mention of His name? His presence is with us and you can sense Him. And we don't always feel God, but God is always there. There's times that we must admit that we go without feeling. And that may take more faith than at other times when we do feel Him. But we know that He is an ever-present God. And we celebrate with Anna being baptized this morning in the wonderful name of Jesus. This clap is about sins being washed away. A new lease on life. Hallelujah. Anna, we're so glad that you have been a part of the APC family over the last few weeks. And we hope that extends out as the Lord wills it. And you just forever a part of the APC family. If that's what God wants, and we'll just all go to heaven together. How about that? And George was baptized this morning. He's excited. I want a little of that to get on me. I want a little of that to get on me. Woo. He called the church this week and he said, I've been reading the Bible and it says, I figured it out. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name. Praise God. And then the Lord gloriously filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost up there this morning. He told Pastor Brad, he said, I was trying to get out, praise you, Jesus, and it wouldn't come out. Something else came out. As the Spirit gives the utterance. As the Spirit gives the utterance. Oh, I'm just glad to be a part of a church that believes in this apostolic experience. Woo! Hallelujah. We know how to enjoy God, and I'm thankful we do, and we must never lose that. Know how to enjoy Jesus. We used to sing that song. Choir used to sing, Enjoying Jesus. Hallelujah. It'd make you pat your foot. And a few other things. Praise God. But we also understand the responsibility, and we have learned how to serve Him. There's two tracks this train rides on. That is the wonderful power of the Spirit, and we're able to enjoy the goodness and the blessings of the Lord. But the other rail on that track is our service to the Lord. And you put that in joy in Jesus, and then people that are willing to serve God, you know where the ultimate destination is going to be heaven. But where that train's going to go, it's going to take this message and this experience to others. Because we don't want to keep it just inside these walls. But we want to minister and serve others. Matthew 25 and verse 23. In just a few moments, we're going to be going into the back to put some legs on what we are dedicating this Sunday to. And that is the serving of the Lord. And again, we're not just going to talk about praising Him. We're going to praise Him. And we're just not going to talk about serving Him. We are going to serve Him. Matthew 25 and 23. And Jesus said this a couple of times in this parable, where He talked about three different servants who had different amounts of talents. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let me stop and back up. I'd like for us all just to read that together. If you would, from your Bible or from the screen, let's just join together. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And you may be seated. The Lord could have said, "Well done, good and faithful believer." It wouldn't have been a bad statement. He could say to us, "Well done." And aren't we all waiting for that day to hear that statement from the lips of Jesus? "Well done." I'm going to tell you, if we can hear that, folks, if we can hear that, everything in this life will have been worth it. He could have said, "Well done, good and faithful church member," and it would not have been incorrect. Or just add any other title role in there. "Well done, good and faithful teacher," or usher, or leader, or speaker. Or you name any other role in the kingdom of God. But the reason He used that word servant is because He was trying to help us realize what He really looks for. It's that availability that was spoken about a few minutes ago. What really matters when it is all said and done on that final day, it will matter to Him if we have served. To be saved and to serve. The two big S's, saved and serving, is really what matters. And it does matter to the Lord. And I'm not going to tell you anything you probably don't already realize, but I really feel to put the yellow highlighter over it tonight and let it stand out. There is room and there are needs for servants and serving. There is room. I know sometimes I've heard others say, "Well, there's a mid-sized church or a large church, and so you don't need anybody." But here's the thing. The larger the congregation, the greater the number of holes to fill and services to be rendered. There is room and there is need. In fact, Jesus is the one who set this template for us. Here's what He said. "The harvest truly is great. The work to be done truly is great." But then He was, as He always was very honest. And sometimes we have a little hesitancy sometimes about being honest. And it could almost come off a bit negative. "Jesus, the power that you have and the calling that you gave and the way that you could teach and draw people." But He said there's a great harvest. But even in Jesus' ministry, you could say it this way, even in Jesus' church, He said, but the laborers are few compared to the great need that there is. There is room and there is need for serving. He makes that appeal to those people then, and he makes it now to us. And that scripture calls and appeals to us to be the laborers. It goes on to say, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. He gives us something to do. It's the Lord's prayer request. He gives us something to do about that disparity of great harvest and few laborers. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. And here's what happens when we sincerely pray that prayer. It's not like, okay, I'm going to pray and get this off of my shoulders. I'm going to pray that God sends and commissions somebody else. But when we truly begin to pray that, we become a submitted sacrifice unto the Lord and say, God, if I'm to be a part of that force, that labor force, and we are, then I want you to use me and send me. Just know tonight there is plenty left to do, and there is plenty of room. And to bring it down very practically, there is plenty of room at APC for more laborers and more service. And when you go in the back tonight, you may see ministries that you have not even known about. Each time we've done this, we've had people to comment afterward, I didn't realize that that happens. And so there are many things, and many of them are behind the scenes. But whatever you can do, in fact, the wise man said in the book of Ecclesiastes, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. And he tells us why. For there is no work, there's no working, there's going to be no device, there's going to be no knowledge that is effective, no wisdom in the grave where we are headed. If we are going to do it, whatever your hand finds that needs to be done, do it. And do it now, he says. What that tells us, again, there's plenty. He wouldn't have made that appeal. Whatever your hand finds to do. In other words, there's some stuff to be found. There's some service to be found. If we will look, we will find it. And he said, whatever you find when you're on a search for a mission and to serve in the kingdom, whatever you find, do it, and do it with all of your heart, mind, and strength. There's a need for us. There's room for service. And then, again, it's not any great revelation, but I feel like we need to hear it again, because sometimes we displace ourselves and sometimes we disqualify ourselves. There is a place for everyone. I know that sounds like something a pastor should say, and pastors should say it, but it's bigger than that. It's a truth. There is a place for everyone. Each one's place will be unique and different for that individual. The talents, the parable of the talents, there was one that was given five. There was the five talent role. Then there was the two talent assignment. And then there was the one talent assignment. And Jesus is just simply telling us there's many places, but there is a place for everybody. And I would say to us tonight and on out in the future, don't worry so much about trying to figure out which talent role you have. Am I a five? Am I a one? Am I a two? Am I a six? But just focus on, I want to serve. Because it's not about being the five talent individual. It's not about being the two talent servant. Because God had an expectation for every one of them. And each one of them that were faithful, they got that same commendation. It didn't matter to Jesus, it was the five or the two talent servant. They got the same commendation. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. There is a place for everybody. Doesn't the Bible keep drilling this home time after time? We don't have to be an expert in Scripture, but you just take Paul's lesson on the natural body and how it fits and is parallel to the spiritual body. And he talks about every member of the physical body having its place and being placed there by God. And Paul said, we are placed in the body by Jesus Christ. We have our role. We have any giftings. We have any callings in our life. And that is just not by our own desire because of our own effectiveness, but it is the calling of God. If God has called us and He has equipped us to do something, we must do that. I appeal to you as your pastor. Whatever God has laid upon your life and has placed into your life, do it because there is room. There is a place. There is a need in the body analogy. The ear, the nose, the mouth, the hands, the fingers, every portion of the body. What He's telling us all, there is a place. And so I would say my responsibility tonight is to tell, Paul told Corinth, it's my responsibility to tell APC, there is a place for everyone in the body. Paul got into a predicament one day in the city of Damascus. And he was cornered. And the only way out of that city was to get into a basket and be let down over the wall in that basket. And of course, they didn't have hook and ladders in that day. They didn't have the means that we would have mechanically or vehicles in this day. So they simply used a basket with ropes and they let him down over the wall. And Paul's life was spared coming out of that city early in his life in the Lord. And many other things happened positively in revival and the writing of much of our New Testament after that happened. But there was somebody along that rope. And then there was another somebody at another point of that rope. And then there was another somebody that helped Paul over the wall of Damascus. Every pair of hands on that rope was important. We never know who we're letting over the wall. What we're doing, our hands are on the, I feel the rope in our hands tonight. And if we will just serve, and I don't suppose those men and women that were on that rope line had any idea about the person. They'd heard about him and they knew, but they didn't know the person he was going to be, and they didn't know he was going to be the person that we would all look to with such religious respect for who he is and what he has done. There is a place. There was a place for somebody. They just used their hands that they had to let this great man of God down over the wall. Several years ago, I heard a minister preaching on service. He said there was a precious elder who had served the Lord very faithfully during most of her lifetime. But in her later years become very sick, in fact, to the point of being bedfast. But she realized there's still a place for me. There's a room and there is need for service in the kingdom of God. And so she asked the pastor, she said, Pastor, I have the phone. I have it placed right beside my bed where I am bedfast. I can reach it. If you will give me the names and the numbers of people that you want contacted, some that may be sick, some that may be absent, some that you want to have called to just touch base with them and help to pull them back into the fold of safety. If there's any name that you want me to call. And so each week the pastor would provide her that list. She did not let bedfastness stop her. She did not let that be an excuse in her own mind to say, well, there's probably nothing I can do. I'm just saying there's something for everybody. There is a place of service in the kingdom of God. It will not be that, perhaps, but it will be some place. And I know this, if we are open and sensitive to the Lord, as the one who is the servant, the Lord will lead and guide us. And then He will also speak to others in our life, leaders and others, and will help to direct us into that ministry area that He has. I want you to know this, and God wants you to know this. Any service you have or will render counts, and it will be counted. God keeps good books, doesn't He? He keeps good books. And I know that he sees everything. He sees when people stumble. He sees sin. But he also sees service. He sees every small task of service and the great acts of service. Here's what Paul said. He understood that his service counted, and he wanted others to know it counted. I think we ought to just adopt this into our hearts and lives. I pray that you would. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. There is going to be a reaping for everything that you have ever done in service to the kingdom of God. In many cases, people knew about it. In many other cases, they knew nothing about what you have done. It was a secret service unto the Lord and perhaps to an individual or individuals. But do not be weary in well-doing, because that service counts. Anything that you do. I'll just be honest with you. I know that there are platform displays of service. Those are not unimportant, and those are not to be minimized. They are important. But not any more important than any item that is not on this platform and that is done secretly or behind the scenes, where fewer or perhaps nobody at all sees what you are. There is a place of service, and that service is counted by God. Paul said to the Corinthian church, so every believer, every believing church probably struggled with this, wondering, is this worth it? Is what I'm doing, is it being counted? Or is it just some kind of religious routine? Here's what he said to that Corinthian church. Therefore, my beloved, be ye steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abound. Just, it's kind of like, give me something else to do. We abound in the joy of the Lord. We abound in the favor and the goodness of the Lord. And we all know we need to be wise, and we need to steward ourselves, our energies, and our time. But Paul said, look at abounding in the work of the Lord. And here's what he adds at the end. Here's what you can know, that your labor is not in vain. Praise God. I pray that you would just take a moment even right now. And I know you can't perhaps recall every item of service that you have given. But if whatever you can recall, you can connect with that. It counted, and there's a reward for it. And I know your sincerity. We don't do this stuff just for rewards. We don't do it just for that. But the truth and the reality is there is a reward. This great, gracious God that we serve. He said, when you serve me, it's going to count, and I'm going to count it toward your account, and you are going to be blessed, and you are going to be rewarded. Always abounding. In other words, don't try to get out of a job in the kingdom of God, but see how you can abound in the work of the Lord, because your labor is not in vain. Somehow I feel like the Lord, I don't feel like he's going to have to be coerced on that great day to make that statement. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well, if I have to say it, God doesn't feel one bit obligated, but he is desiring. In fact, I talked a little bit a few minutes ago about how we're looking forward to that day of hearing those words. I believe the Lord is looking more forward to saying that than we are looking forward to hearing it. Well done. You have done well. You have done good. You've done something of benefit. You have been faithful. You have been trustworthy. You could be trusted and believed in to fulfill that role that you were led to. He cannot wait to give us that commendation. And it's worth it to serve the Lord. It's worth it now. There are rewards in the present. You know, if you talk to somebody about the Lord, you witness to them, you give an evangel, you give them a Bible study, you disciple them, and they say, you know, I'd like to repent. Would you pray with me? You know, I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. Michelle, you probably felt pretty good this morning when your friend Anna was baptized in the name of Jesus. Sometimes God lets us see the rewards and receive the rewards here. We reap now. Those of you that have served as Sunday school workers and teachers, for a parent to come up and tell you, you know what? She recited that memory verse, or he told me about what that lesson was, and she told me about that point that resonated with her. We receive some value and some rewards now. Or when you touch base with somebody and they respond, thank you for that prayer, thank you for that note, thank you for that email, thank you for that phone call or text. It's a bit of a reward and an award for what we've done. It's worth it. It's worth it. The main value is if somebody is strengthened and helped in the Lord. But then we are blessed and we feel that sense of accomplishment. You know, Jesus told Simon Peter, he said, there's no man that's left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake. And watch this, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time. All of our rewards are not waiting for over there. He said there's going to be manifold more blessings in this present time. There's a whole lot of reaping to be done down here. And then he adds on, and there's more to come, life everlasting. But we don't have to wait till then to know it's worth it. We can find it out now. He said if we'll sacrifice, if we'll serve, we're going to receive manifold. That's a promise of the Lord, church. That is a promise to you. You're going to receive manifold more in this present time, in this present life, and then also in that life that is to come. And of course, in that life to come, we know he said, I'm going to give you a crown of life. Now, the reality is, sometimes we wonder, is it worth it? Is it worth my time? Is it worth my... And that's where some folks get caught. They get caught in that conflict of that. Is it really worth it? And I've given so much, and I've done this, or I've done that. I think that's when we need to come back to Paul's statement, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And we do wonder sometimes, but here's the promise that we can hold on to. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, in other words, sowing and serving in the kingdom of God, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. If there's any question in your mind tonight about, is it worth it? Everything that we give or we sacrifice in time and our efforts to the kingdom of the Lord. He said, if we'll go forth and serve, we're going to doubtless come again with rejoicing. And we're going to have some fruit and some sheaves. We will bring that with us. Really, it's really what we're here, what we were created to do, and that is to serve the Lord. Our founding pastor had a favorite saying that he would often say, only one life, so soon that will pass. And only what's done for Christ will last eternally. There's a lot of good that we can do in other areas of life, and it will last for a time. But serving the kingdom and serving the Lord, it's like putting those riches and those treasures in a place where moth cannot eat it and rust cannot corrupt it. And anything that you invest in the kingdom of God, whether it is finance or whether it is your time or your talent, will not be taken away and will not be negated. It will last eternally. Would you stand with me, please?
I want us to have a time of prayer just before we go to the back. And I'm going to offer several things that we can pray tonight for the Lord. And there will be others that will come to your spirit and your heart, I'm sure. But one of the things it will be very good to do is to thank Him for the opportunity to serve Him. He's the King of the universe, folks. You talk about all wisdom, and you want me to work for you? God of glory, and you're hiring me? The opportunity, and to work for a kingdom where there's going to be everlasting life. I encourage you to thank the Lord tonight for the opportunity to serve. And then open your heart and your life and your energy and your goals to His service. And then I know many of you are already serving. It'd be good to pray a prayer of recommitment. God, I recommit to this service to You. I give it to You again. And Lord, I need Your anointing and Your strength. Because certainly we need His help to enable the powers that we have to be effective. Offer that to the Lord. And then, always abounding, commit to do more. Commit to do more. Seek His leading, and maybe you have some question about which direction should I serve and where and what is the role. The Lord will lead and the Lord will guide. We trust Him. We trust Him that He will. And then be reminded, whatever you have done and whatever you will do counts, and it will be rewarded on that day. Praise God. Right from where you are, let's turn it into an altar of consecration and dedication. Now, Lord, thank You for the opportunity that we have to serve You. Thank You, O great God of the universe. Hallelujah. We feel like David of old. What are we that You would even be mindful of us? Not only do You love us, God, not only did You give us gifts, but then You trust us, God. You trust us. You trust us. You trust us, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, I thank You for the opportunity. Now, Lord, I want to open my heart and my life and my energy and my goals to tie into Your service, God. And let Your service be the ruling factor in those things, oh God. We recommit. We recommit to what we are already serving in and already doing. We recommit to that, and we commit to do more and do all that we can. We commit. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Go ahead, church. He's hearing our hearts. He reads our spirit. Yes, You do, Lord, and we know that it counts. Thank You, Lord, for helping us to understand and establishing that it counts, oh, God. We do. We seek Your leading, and we seek Your guidance, oh, God. We want You now, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you sing together? Let's just continue to offer ourselves to the Lord.